Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. A resolution calling for the impeachment of the president was introduced in the Congress by Representative Robert F. Drennan, who declared his action was a protest against Watergate and the secret bombing of Cambodia. Once when President Wilson was similarly undergoing a severe testing time, he could not sleep, he called for his physician to get him his Bible. "Doctor," said President Wilson, "will you read to me from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9? Well, Cary Grayson, the president's physician, then read these words to the sleepless president. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." We would suppose President Nixon would have the same feelings as did President Wilson. During his second inauguration, the president asked Americans to pray for him that in the years ahead he may have God's help in making the decisions that are right for America. Are we praying for our president and for our nation? Do we have confidence that God will see us through this hour of our greatest peril? What about the future? Well, we'll be back in just a moment to continue our discussion, but first, we have an interview with James McCord, one of the convicted Watergate break-in team members. We apologize for the quality of the recording, which I believe was made in a radio studio, with another program being heard in the background. Anyway, here is Jim O'Brien with today's news interview.
I understand that there were some messages preached by Reverend Richard Halverson of the Fourth Presbyterian Church of Washington, D.C., which had a very primary impact upon your thoughts concerning Watergate and your decisions to explain your role and perhaps the roles of others in the entire affair. What is your comment on that?
Well, it is true that the sermons of Dr. Halverson of the Fourth Presbyterian Church in Washington, in Bethesda, did have a very powerful influence on my life, the life of my family, especially from about January of 73 on, which was a very critical period for me because the trial had just begun. And beginning the first Sunday in January 7th, Dr. Halverson began a series of messages which, as I recall, were entitled Christ is Lord. And he began to talk on various facets of that theme during the succeeding Sundays, which ran into several Sundays. And it seemed to us, to my family and to me, that his messages, which had been written, incidentally, sermons about a year before, were specifically tailored or designed or pointed directly at me and at my family and at the very experience, the Watergate trial that we were then undergoing. And ultimately, the messages that he prepared and which he presented resulted in my presenting a letter at the time that I did to Judge Sirica. The letter of March 23rd, which Judge Sirica read into the court at that time, which essentially opened up the Watergate investigation and resulted in the Senate Watergate hearings with some of the witnesses that we're now hearing today.
Our guest today on God's News Behind the News have been Mr. James McCord, who is the Security Chief of the Committee to Re-Elect the President. This is Jim O'Brien reporting for God's News Behind the News.
Well, thank you, Jim O'Brien, for today's interview. Our guest, James McCord, one of the men convicted for the break-in of Watergate. Again, we apologize for the quality of the recording. From sounds we were hearing in the background, we think the conversations were bugged. With the congressional hearings in recess, we're tempted to look back to evaluate the proceedings and ask what's wrong. Why is our nation undergoing a crisis of unparalleled proportions? What of the future? When the Honorable Keith Sebelius, Republican from Kansas, asked his home folk what is the number one problem facing America today, one of his constituents replied, it was sin. That about covers it, doesn't it? In Psalms 14 we read, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Now listen to what the Lord says. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. My friends, I'm sorry to say if every one of us were placed on trial, there are those who would surely find something wrong with all of us. Even those of us who are seeking to live godly, Christ-honoring lives would have to admit there are times that we are betrayed by sin. For example, in 1 John 3:14 we read, sin is the transgression of the law. There may be a speed limit in the city of 35. You look down at your speedometer, you find you're going 40. Now, if sin is the transgression of the law, then are we not guilty according to this definition, even if we're found riding in the car? Well, some of you may have to think that through. But these are some of the situations confronting congressional leaders in Washington. It would appear, for instance, that some are convinced our Constitution forbids any kind of search of private property. However, where there's reason to suspect acts of political sabotage, drug activity, or production of counterfeit money, for instance, there is believed the right to conduct a search to see exactly what is going on. Actually, what the Constitution of the United States forbids is unreasonable search. U.S. News and World Report notes, in the Soviet Union, using bugging devices, as well as acts of political espionage, the official covering up of wrongdoing in government are not sins under communism, but rather a way of life. When a Russian journalist recently visited this country, he was amazed to find us excited over Watergate and the disclosure that the president recorded conversations in his office. In Russia, declared this journalist, this is standard operating procedure. Coincidentally, in communist countries, including Russia and China, little or nothing has been published on the Watergate affair. We're told the communists are not about to tell their people that surveillance and using bugging devices are considered evil in capitalist America. A story is told of a farmer in Russia who owned his own farm but was arrested and kept in jail. One day he received a frantic letter from his wife saying in part, I'm going crazy. How am I ever going to take care of the farm? The husband wrote back to his wife and included this P.S. Don't worry, dear, I've taken care of us on the northern 40 acres. Well, a week later, the prisoner received a letter from his wife asking, what are you thinking of? Why did you write such a thing in a letter? She wrote, since your letter has come, the secret police have dug up the whole 40 acres. Her husband wrote back, good, now go ahead and plant. So you can't even write a letter in communist lands without expecting someone will read it. There is no privacy under totalitarianism. Well, naturally, all of us want to enjoy our freedom. We would like to agree with those who contend a man's house is his castle, and not be in subjection to invasion by any authority or by any agency of the government. But we know the governments are moving in the other direction, so that when the Antichrist appears, he will have a surveillance system unparalleled in history. Well, all we can say, friends, is that such a system is coming. Regardless of the feeling we may have about our private lives being subject to investigation, we are living in such a corrupt society, it will eventually become necessary to keep close scrutiny on all citizens, to know whether or not they're engaged in legitimate activities, paying their taxes as they should, and conducting their business according to government requirements. Woe be to the day when that comes. But again, we say it is coming. Well, here's a United Nations report which declares, people's private lives are being increasingly threatened, particularly on account of the use of computers, for the registration and dissemination of personal data. Did you hear it? Well, here's another news item out of Washington stating by 1980, every American over 6 years of age may have what is called a Social Security number, but actually would be an identification number. Ladies and gentlemen, this is legislation that has already been enacted in the Social Security measure passed by the Congress, authorizing enumerating every person when he enters school. Now, this news item goes on to say that tagging isn't yet a requirement, but the law gives the Social Security Director the authority to attach a number to every person. Furthermore, the program is destined to get underway in 1974 unless there's a sharp change made by the Congress. Now, commenting on these and other developments, a prophetic magazine has this to say. Under the rule of the Antichrist, no one will be able to hide himself. By then, the private sphere will definitely be a thing of the past. Everybody will be registered. Even religious thought and actions will be registered. No one will be able to buy or sell anything anonymously. It will be such a terrible time of trouble as has never been before, nor ever will be again. Now, can you understand something of the situation we face? What men are seeking to avoid will ultimately happen. Years ago, I attended a meeting where the speaker was commenting on candidates then running for the presidency. Said the speaker, "If you're looking for a perfect man, you'll never find him." Then he remarked there was only one perfect man in all of history. But you'll remember what they did to him. They crucified him. Yes, man at his best is imperfect. But there is one who came from heaven who was absolutely perfect, who was sinless, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Visiting this country just now is a 15-year-old Jeru Maharaj, referred to by his 6 million followers as the perfect master. He already claims 40,000 followers in this country, including Rennie Davis, one of the Chicago 7 defendants, who told an audience of 3,500 of mostly youthful listeners, "I believe 1973 is the year America will recognize that the living perfect master is here." Well, my friends, Jesus Christ is the truly perfect one, the sinless one. God raised him from the dead to prove that he was in fact the Savior of the world. We're reminded there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so by repenting of sin, by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we can be forgiven, we can be cleansed. Hallelujah. The glorious hope of welcoming Christ's coming is the blessed anticipation of all believers who are not looking for a Jeru or for the coming Antichrist, but who await the coming, the return of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Be ye therefore ready also. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Will you be ready to go when the morning sun comes riding down, his eyes are blazed with many crowns? Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.